Good morning. I call this regularly scheduled meeting of the North Dakota Public Service Commission to order. It's 10 o'clock, March 26, 2025. All three commissioners are here, so we have a quorum. I don't have any opening comments. Commissioner Hogan-Hoffert, did you?
I do. Growing up, or even into my adulthood, my father especially had a couple sayings. Treat others as you want to be treated, but be teachable. You're not always right. And the reason why I say that, it's going to go into public hearings. I really am proud of the commission going out into communities where an application or where the communities are impacted. And all of us commissioners speak to the public saying, we're glad you're here because we want to hear from you. And I think recently we had a teachable moment from the public. You could go in reading an application or have a perceived or what you feel is right on something, and we can be corrected. So there has been teachable moments from the public to us as commissioners. And my point on that, it just solidifies for me as a commissioner that I support these public hearings into the community where they're impacted so we can hear from them. So that was my point, is I really love the public hearings. I love public participation. And I like learning things because I'm not always right. That's all I have to say.
Good point. And did you have any opening comments?
No opening comments.
Okay, then let's, if you'll join me in standing for our Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, so moving into the meeting then, we have three items on the consent calendar, so I would move approval of those three items plus the previous minutes.
Second. That does not mean to evacuate.
Sorry about that. We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay. I move the commission approve revision 44 to surface coal mining permit BNCR-9702 held by BNI Coal Limited for the Center Mine to add two variances in the south half of Section 29 and southwest quarter of Section 28, Township 142 North, Range 84 West, and Section 20, Township 142 North, Range 84 West, and update other operation and reclamation plans as provided in Revision 44 in BNI Coal Limited, Revision 44, Permit BNCR-9702, Application Case Number RC-24-350.
Second.
So I think the motion is about as long as the explanation in this case, but to explain a little bit, on October 4th of last year, our Reclamation Division received BNI's application. The revision updates the legal and financial sections, ownership and control sections, pre-mine topographic information, pre-mine and post-mine surface water sections, transportation plan, surface water management plan, reclamation schedule, post-mine backfilling and regrading sections, and adds two variance areas. So the two variance areas they're requesting from contemporaneous reclamation requirements encompass the final pit locations, variances from the three-year vegetation requirements, and the 180-day rough grading requirements have been adequately justified, Revision 44 also proposed minor post-mine topography changes to achieve a soil balance for the final pit reclamation. Revision 44 was deemed a significant revision and was subject to the public notice requirements. BNI submitted affidavits of publication showing that the newspaper notice was published in the Center Republican and the Bismarck Tribune for 4 consecutive weeks. We notified the appropriate agencies and the landowners and received no comments or objections. So I'd say the Reclamation Division has completed its review of this revision and recommends that it be approved, as do I.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
And I move the commission adopt the order in Griggs County Telephone Company, Leonard and Kindred Exchanges, Public Convenience and Necessity, case number PU-24-386, and Griggs County Telephone Company Designated Eligible Carrier Application, case number PU-24-387.
Second.
So for this, I'll have just a little bit longer of an explanation. But it's been a pretty short process. On December 23rd of last year, Griggs County Telephone filed their application requesting authorization to provide telecommunications services as the incumbent local exchange carrier in the Leonard and Kindred Exchanges in North Dakota. Leonard and Kindred are currently served by CenturyLink. Griggs also filed an application requesting that they be designated as an eligible telecommunications carrier in these two exchanges. And if anybody's not familiar, these are communities in Cass County out west of Fargo and West Fargo. On January 8th, the commission issued a notice of opportunity for a consolidated hearing. And regarding the incumbent carrier status, the notice identified 4 issues to be considered. One was the fitness and ability of Griggs to provide the services. Number 2 was the adequacy of Griggs' proposed telecommunications services. Number 3 was the technical, financial, and managerial ability of Griggs. And 4th was whether, upon granting a certificate to Griggs, if we chose to do that, whether CenturyLink certificates should be relinquished or transferred to competitive local exchange service. Regarding the ETC application, the notice identified also 4 issues to be considered. One was the qualifications of the applicant, what ETC universal service support area should be designated if we do designate one, whether it is in the public interest to designate Griggs as the ETC, and again, whether upon designation of Griggs as an ETC, if CenturyLink's designation as ETC should be relinquished or transferred to competitive local exchange service. On January 22nd, we discussed the applications with Griggs County Telephone during an informal hearing. And the kind of information behind the decision here, Griggs holds certificates already in 6 telephone exchanges in North Dakota and is designated as an ETC in a study area that encompasses those 6 exchanges. They testified that they have completely overbuilt the Leonard and Kindred exchanges already with their own fiber optic network. And they currently provide service to about 95% of the wireline customers and about 2/3 of the total subscribers in these exchanges. So if approved with this order, we would be finding that Griggs is fit and able to provide telecommunication services, that the services provided are adequate, and that Griggs has the technical, financial, and managerial ability to provide the service. Along the way, CenturyLink filed comments that was actually supportive of the application, but requested no findings on their ILEC status. And so with this order, the commission does not find it necessary to relinquish or transfer CenturyLink's certificates. As far as the ETC, the Federal Telecommunications Act of 1996 provides for financial support for a common carrier if they're designated as an ETC. The ETC must use that financial support, though, only for the provision, maintenance, and upgrading of facilities and services for which that support is intended. The affidavit of Tyler Kildee affirms that Griggs will continue to meet the obligations of an ETC. So if approved, this order finds that Griggs is qualified under the Telecommunications Act of 1996 for designation as an ETC. And based on the evidence in the proceeding, including the fact that the overwhelming majority of subscribers in these two exchanges are currently served by Griggs, we would be finding that it's in the public interest that these exchanges be included within Griggs's rural study area for proposed for purposes of universal service support, and therefore be removed from CenturyLink's study area. And so to me, the key details of the order is that Griggs County Telephone Company's application for a certificate of public convenience and necessity is approved, and their request for designation as an eligible telecommunications carrier in the Leonard and Kindred exchanges is also granted.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor?
I will just add on that I don't want to come off as busting the chops of CenturyLink or now Lumen or used to be US West. There's been a lot of name changes. In some of these areas, I wish in retrospect that they had sold them like they sold off so many of the other exchanges 30 years ago. And I've never understood the strategy for which rural exchanges they kept and the majority of them that they sold off. But especially with the help of universal service funding, the rural companies have been able to step up and move to fiber optic service and just outstanding, nationwide outstanding service. And CenturyLink operates at a disadvantage in those communities. And so it's not that they just not that they just didn't want to provide better service. Like I say, they were disadvantaged. And however, now we're where we're at, and the federal laws are what the federal laws are. And so I'm rather excited about a company like Griggs County Telephone stepping up to the plate even before this, and as a competitive carrier, overbuilding these communities. The fact that 95% of the subscribers have moved over to them really shows the value of that service, and I just really appreciate a company like Griggs County Telephone doing what they did here. And so I'm excited, and I hope the votes are here to approve this. I think it's well-deserved and an outstanding development for the people of Leonard and Kindred.
Yeah, Randy, I would echo some of what you said, the fact that we had supportive filings from both companies regarding this case. And what I like about this order is that, to me, it demonstrates the cooperation from both parties on an appropriate outcome that's to the benefit of all the customers.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Commissioner Haugenoffer.
I just want to say, is that good service going to be to help celebrate Kindred's championship? Talk about a comeback. I move the commission adopt the order on consent agreement in Public Service Commission, North Central Service Incorporated, Damage Prevention Enforcement, case number DM24-293.
Second.
On July 11th, the commission received a North Dakota One Call complaint from Cass Rural District. And I'm going to go through the complaints. So on June 26th, North Central did file a notice with the North Dakota One Call to install mainline fiber in Wheatland County, Cass County. On July 10th, North Central was conducting a horizontal boring digging and struck Cass Rural Water pipe, causing outages to 66 customers. In the complaint, Cass Rural Water stated that a customer contacted them who was experiencing low water pressure. So they went out to investigate and found that North Central was doing horizontal boring in the area. So what the violation is that North Central failed to report the damages that were done. That under the North Dakota Century Code, that if damage occurs to an underground facility, that the operator, the excavator, should notify the operator in a reasonable manner and as reasonably as possible. And we find that they did not. And with that failure to report, that is so important so the work can be, the damage can be restored. A consent agreement has been reached, and North Central is assessed a civil penalty of $10,000 with $5,000 suspended on the condition that they have no further violations within 5 years and that they should remit the $5,000 in the civil penalty payable to the North Dakota Public Service Commission within 10 business days. So in reviewing this and the teachable moments that have been to North Central and the work on the consent agreement, I support it.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
So I have big concerns with this order. And I certainly don't mean to imply that I think that North Central Service didn't do anything wrong here by not reporting that strike, because they did do something wrong. My only concern is the amount of the penalty. And I'll explain, and I don't know if after my views are expressed, if there's agreement with me, I don't know what to, I'll leave it up to you as portfolio holder, what process to either just make an amendment for different numbers or send staff back to get a different consent order done. But I, like I said, I'll leave that up to you. My point here is only the amount of the penalty. And here's my concern. We're capped in our penalties at $25,000. At one time, it was $5,000. And probably about 12 to 15 years ago, I think, the commission got that raised to $25,000. And my understanding, I wasn't at the commission at the time, my understanding of that move was that there had been a death associated with digging. I don't even know if it was a violation issue or what, but at least the concept was how do we issue penalties that are only a couple thousand dollars less for something that's sort of trivial than when someone is killed. And so it sort of established a range, you know, up to $25,000 for something really horrible. This penalty is almost the midpoint. And when I view this, yes, they had a strike and they didn't call in immediately. I don't know that there's strong evidence that they just didn't intend to ever call it in. Because at least once, based on the complaints against them that we dropped earlier, at least once, but as I read it, I think it was twice, in the roughly month before this. They also struck these water lines, which weren't being marked well because the owner, apparently there's not a good detection method. So they can only do what they can do, right? But the fact is the water lines aren't marked well. So they struck them and they did report it and then had complaints filed against them. So reporting it didn't really help them either. You strike something that's unmarked, you report it and to the owner, and you get a complaint filed against you. In this case, the company, the owner of the water line, was already out there, as I understand it, within about 45 minutes. Now, I don't know, I've never run a boring machine. I'm fascinated with them. I would like to learn more about that. I don't know what kind of issues are involved with just shutting something like that down immediately. I could very easily see them coming to the conclusion that, well, we're going to have a complaint filed against us anyway. Let's get to the end point, shut down our machine, and then we'll report it. Because the result's going to be the same. They're going to file a complaint against us. These two are back and forth with complaints about one another, and it just seems to me there's kind of some gray area in this, what appears to be a battle. In consent, we dropped 8 different cases back and forth between them filing complaints against each other. And to have this one be almost like 40% up the scale from the lowest that we could issue, which would be 0, to the highest, which would be $25,000, I think is just too high. And then if I skip ahead to the next case where we have a company that hit, I think, 3 natural gas lines, and their total penalty is $3,500, and $1,500 of that is suspended. I think in this case, $10,000 total with $5,000 suspended is just too high for me to go.
Randy, correct me if when you said that they did report. Where do you see that in this case? In this filing, that they did not report, that they were out there digging, they hit it, they didn't report it, it was the real water that came out and noticed it. And when I also read this agreement, they're also not taking responsibility for it. So I'm going to stand fast on this, that the importance of reporting to deal with it is on them, but also they're still not taking responsibility. They came to a consent agreement, but they're not taking responsibility. And no one else could have hit that.
I hope I didn't say that they reported this. I think I said that they didn't report it, and for that they're wrong and should be penalized.
Okay.
What I said was, in the previous cases between these same two companies that we just moments ago approved in consent, where we dropped some complaint cases against them, in those cases they did the exact same thing. They hit the unmarked water lines of the same water system, and they did report it immediately, and the water system filed one call complaints against them for striking their lines, even though they did report it immediately. So after that happens, if I'm this boring in the fiber optics, I might reach, depending on how hard it is to start and stop that boring machine, and that is something I don't know, I might reach the conclusion, too, that I'll just get to a good stopping point and call it in because they're filing a complaint no matter when I call it in. So it's the ones that we approved on consent that we dropped where they did report it immediately and still got a complaint filed against them.
Is there any further discussion?
So, Randy, are you proposing modifications to this, just to kind of clarify where we're at?
If I heard in discussion support for amending this to a lower amount or for just sending it back to staff to come up with a consent agreement for a lower amount. I don't know if there's value to the consent agreement if we change the amount. It's your portfolio. That you be the judge of that. But if I hear other support for a lower amount, then I would be willing to propose that or second such a motion. If not, if you guys both feel that this is the correct amount, then I'll just vote differently. And that will be the end of it.
I guess my final point on this, I see your comparison, Randy. In the consent ones, they did report, so there's history there. This one, they didn't report. And the whole purpose is first to call in a ticket, but then secondly, if something happens, we have to report it. And they have a history of reporting, and here they didn't. And again, I'm going to stand fast on this consent agreement.
Do you agree, though, that at some point when you report and get a complaint filed against you anyway, that is kind of a disincentive to keep being in a big hurry to report?
I would gladly defend myself on a complaint. Okay. And the other thing on this consent agreement, if you look at it, they're not acknowledging it. Right. On the other ones, they did. So that raises red flags to me as like, why did you negotiate wanting in the consent agreement that they deny the violation occurred? So there's no accountability there. So I'm going to let that speak for itself.
You're correct on that.
Yeah.
Yep. So,
I mean, the consent agreement does say that they acknowledge that they struck it, but they denied that they essentially knew the strike occurred and didn't report it. Right?
Yeah. If you go to page 3 of 5 under the agreement, number 2.
Right.
So, Randy, from your perspective, it's a $10,000 penalty is what's being proposed with $5,000 suspended. So at least as long as there's no further violations, they'd only have to pay $5,000, which to your point is about like, you know, a fifth of the total cap. Does that, I guess, make a difference to you at all?
I still felt it was too high. I mean, the suspension of part of it helped.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, roll call vote. Chairman Christman?
Nay.
Commissioner Haugen-Hofford?
Aye.
Commissioner Kringstad?
Aye.
Motion is approved.
I move the Commission adopt the order on consent agreement in Public Service Commission JR Civil LLC Damage Prevention Enforcement Case Number DM-24-333.
Second.
On September 11th, the Commission received a North Dakota One Call complaint from MDU alleging that JR violated a One Call violation. So on December 17th, staff received a response from JR acknowledging that they did, when corresponding with them, that they did strike MDU natural gas lines on three separate occasions. The first one was on July 25th. They were digging and struck a MDU 3/4 natural gas service line, causing an outage to one customer, and they did call 911 under the law that they have to report it to 911. On August 26th, they filed a notice to install water mains in Rame. A ticket number was identified. Then on August 27th, while they were digging, they struck an MDU natural gas line, again, causing an outage to one customer, and they did call 911. However, on September 9th, they were conducting and struck an MDU natural gas service line and caused an outage to one customer, but here they did not contact 911 to report the gas strike. So the failure in this is they did, for failure to report to 911, a consent agreement was reached, and JR is assessed a civil penalty of $3,500 with $1,500 suspended on the condition that they commit no further violation within 5 years and that they must remit the $2,000 payable to the North Dakota Public Service Commission within 10 business days of this order. And I support this in working with staff, and these natural gas pipelines really do scare me if there is a strike. And I think every time we have one of these cases, we talk about it with the staff. One of the things that being out on a pipeline inspection and seeing these pipelines being put in and the advancement in the technology that's coming, number one, the size of the pipeline that was struck, going up to the residential home, the safety features, that gives me great assurance that things are being done on shutoff valves and stuff like that. What's disappointing on this is that 2 out of 3 times they called 911 to report it, and on the last one they failed, and because of that failure to report, the penalty is assessed, and I support this order. This is consent agreement.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the commission adopt the order in Montana Dakota Utilities Company Electric Service Agreement, Dakota Prairie Refinery Approval, case number PU-24-3. 7-9.
Second.
Thank you. On December 5th, MDU did file an application for approval for their ESA between them and Dakota Prairie Refinery. We issued a notice of opportunity, and there were no responses received. So when we look, they submit the ESA, and the staff does a thorough review on it regarding the electric service agreement. And in this agreement, it stipulates that all firm electric power will be served by MDU with phase one rates effective until December 31st, 2025, and phase two rates will be effective on January 1st, 2026, both at discounted rates. Also in the agreement, Dakota Prairie commits not to purchase electric power from any other supplier and not to install or operate any electric power generation equipment to self-serve its refinery facilities unless used solely for backup purposes only. This discounted rate contained in the agreement covers the loss margins and the impacts to other MDU customers. Having a thorough review of this, that this service area electric service agreement has been reviewed and it's reasonable, and I recommend approval of this ESA.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you. I move the commission adopt the order in Montana Dakota Utility Company Electric Service Agreement to Tesoro Refinery Amendment Approval, case number PU-24-3-9.
380.
Second.
Thank you. We are now looking at the amended, the number third amendment between MDU and Tesoro Refinery. We did issue a notice of opportunity for hearing and no responses were received. So just a little history. This goes back all the way to 2003 when we were looking, looking at the ESAs between MDU and a facility. So the one I'm really going to touch on is, let me go back. 2003, it was looked at, also in 2007, and these are looked at after we have a rate case. So when we have an approved rate case, then we look at the ESAs to make sure there's no disparity. So they have a rate 30, but because of these ESAs, there's a discounted rate, and we want to make sure that there's not a strong disparity in this ESAs and rate 30, that they are paying their fair share. So after this last rate case, they had to submit their ESA. Staff has reviewed it on the rate, and based on MDU's most recent electric rate case agreement, we approved the rate case, and based on that settlement agreement, rate 30 was increased by 5.5%. And when the staff did the analysis based on this agreement, that their agreement went up 9.32%. So that's bringing that disparity closer together, which was in the order that there cannot be a big disparity between these ESAs and the discounted rate. So based on that analysis and the ESA, I support this agreement.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
That ends my portfolio.
Okay. Chair Christman, just to verify, you do not intend to do a dissent?
No.
Okay. Thank you.
So, a couple of announcements. This afternoon, we have an informal hearing with Montana Dakota Utilities on deferred accounting and their congestion litigation. This Friday, we have a RTO update with MISO. We often have them the same day, one in the morning and one in the afternoon. Couldn't coordinate the schedules, so we did SPP Monday afternoon. No.
Yes, Monday.
Was it Monday?
Monday morning at
noon. Okay, and so this one will be Friday afternoon. And then skipping ahead to next week, we're going to be on the road a lot. On Monday at 1 o'clock. Not a morning starting time to an outside hearing, but at 1 o'clock, we have a formal hearing with Basin Electric Power Cooperative on their 345 kV line that runs from the Leland Old Station around the east side of Lake Audubon and on up to Tioga. That will be in the Underwood City Hall. That is kind of a replay of the one that we did a few weeks ago. And so that's why we're starting it at 1. We don't necessarily expect a lot there. And I'm going to skip. There's another thing I want to announce in between, but on the topic of Basin Electric, and I don't think I said it, but that's case number PU-24-361. Then next Friday will be the other hearing on that same transmission line. That will be at 9 o'clock in the morning in Stanley at the Montreal County South Complex. So Basin Electric transmission line, Underwood, Monday at 1 o'clock, and at Stanley at 9 o'clock. And then in between on Wednesday at 10 o'clock, we have a formal hearing on the Thunder Butte Pipeline. That's PU-24-86. And that will be at the American Legion in Parshall. So, and then our next regular commission meeting will be April 9th on a Wednesday, normal time. That concludes the announcements. With that, we'll stand in recess and take some questions from the press.